Hey, this is Bob in the Don't Die podcast, brought to you by Ohana Fest down in Dana Point, and brought to you by Live Nation, bringing you concerts all over the world. It all begins with getting off drugs, people. Let's go out and live life. Get sober, get the right treatment for you, and stop dying. Stop dying, Chuck. That's our theme song.
I have.
The italics is Don't Die, Stop Dying. Elijah is now a grown-ass man with a family and everything. And in the last 2 years, Chuck, he has said things that he never realized before. Like, Dad, I know how hard it is, like furnaces and fucking plumbing and fucking car insurance and fucking this and fucking that. Like, how come our kids don't realize what life is like until it's too late, really?
Until they get sober. It really comes down to getting sober, because otherwise either people carry you or you go without, you know. And then getting sober, we got to develop all those muscles quickly, so it can be overwhelming. But eventually it's just like, you know, it's like atmosphere. We walk through what, 32 pounds of pressure per square inch.
I always tell this story. Millie's Campbell, Elijah knows Campbell, taught me everything I know about cooking and everything. And he didn't want to. Like, who wants to teach Bob Forrest how to be a prep cook? Like, no one. No one wanted that job. Because I'm lazy. Because of the combination of lazy, think I'm a rock star, kind of slow from crack use kind of guy. Is that really a guy you want to spend 12 hours a day with, Chuck?
But I'm ready to hire you.
Yeah, let's go. Let's open a restaurant.
But Campbell was willing to do it with me. And so it's about the third week, and I was really starting to catch on. I thought I was doing better than I was.
Most people, it's 2 or 3 days. The third week. I knew how to turn things off.
Turn it on and get it and put the coffee in the cups. And so, it's about 3 weeks in, and I know I'm starting to, you know, I get the jive. I'm starting to like think I could do this. And, you know, Millie's, I don't know, for people that weren't there, Millie's was like a phenomenon in Los Angeles. It came out of nowhere. It was this little 8-stool coffee place. It was founded by this woman named Millie, who was like 80 years old, and then sold it to these two guys named Paul. And so it should have changed names from Millie's to two guys named Paul, but they didn't think that smart then. And so
two Pauls.
So then Patty Pack bought it from them because they fought and couldn't agree on things. And then I had 6 days sobriety. I go to Millie's. I'm with Keith Morris. Patty's like, "Where have you been, Bob? I haven't seen you." And I've been, I lived in Richmond and now I'm back. And Keith goes, "He just got out of jail and he's sleeping on Chris Hoy's couch." Excuse me, Mr. Morris. Talking to my friend Patty here. And she goes, "Well, if you want a job, I got a bunch of job openings." I was like, "Oh, no, I'm working on a new album." And Keith goes, "He's not working on anything." And so she goes, "Bob, help me out." Just because she had just taken it over, I think. And she's like, "Help me out." And I was like, okay. And so Campbell takes me under his wing, teaches me how to cut meat and do all this shit that I never wanted to do again. Chrissy always says, "How come you don't like to cook?" I said, "I worked at a restaurant for 2 years. No, we're never going to cook at home. Never. Never." So we're sitting there and we did this game.
That was a long time ago, Bob. It scarred you.
No, I don't know. I just don't like cooking. The phenomenon of Millie's, and this is exciting because Elijah grew up at Millie's. So Millie's was this little tiny place, and all of a sudden, Silver Lake became the coolest thing in Los Angeles, the coolest thing on the West Coast, really, out of nowhere, with Spaceland and Beck and the Beastie Boys, and it was just became hipster central Silver Lake, right? I just lived there because we had a huge house for $1,200 a month. I didn't live there out of love of Silver Lake. You know what I mean? So,
We just had the half of it. It was $7.50 back then.
Oh, was it $7.50 only for our
Yeah.
So, Chuck, we had an 1888 house, and it was divided two-thirds, one-third. Me and Elijah and Max had two-thirds for, I guess, $7.50. And the other people had it for $400 then, or $450 or whatever. Then they moved out, and I said, hey, I'll rent that other side. And the guy said, okay. And then Brian Smith moved in. And then we opened up because they had divided it and they put walls up, and we opened up and it had two big doors. It was all one big, huge house, like 12 room house. And so we had this whole place for $1,200. That's why I lived there. Not because Beck lived there. I lived there because of that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. What year, so, what year was that? Put a year 90, on that real quick.
96, 97, 98. So Millie's goes from this little place that only like Keith Morris and me and, you know, like, that was our spot. We'd go there and eat. They had this thing called a devil's mass and a breakfast mass, a veggie mass. And it was like $8 or whatever. So all of a sudden in the summer of 97, when I'm working there, it becomes the coolest place in Los Angeles to eat Sunday breakfast.
Line around the block.
Chuck, people would wait an hour and a half to have fucking breakfast. I wouldn't wait an hour and a half to see Led Zeppelin reunite. You know what I mean? For fucking breakfast.
I do.
So right in the middle of it, all of a sudden it's going from like, you know, there's six or eight customers in the restaurant to like full on packed outdoor tables, 40 people, and they're going to be 40 people every second for 9 hours straight. Yeah. And so we used to call it a war with the hipsters. It was a war of the staff against these fucking people that insisted on eating at our restaurant. And so after the war was over, we're sitting there, probably the third Sunday I worked there, and we're flicking our cigarettes and you're trying to get it to lean over the curb, and but not go down in the curb. And we do it for a dollar or something. Campbell, I said, oh my God, we made it through. And he's like, yep. And then he flicked his cigarette. And we were watching it to see how close it came to the edge of the curb. And then he said, see you Tuesday. And I sat there and I looked at the cigarette and I was like, oh my God, we're just going to keep doing this every fucking week. We were closed on Monday, but Tuesday we're going to do it again. And it was going to get worse through the week. There'd be more and more people till Saturday and Sunday. There'd be this onslaught of... It was fashion and it was music and it was hipsters and whatever. And I was right in the middle of it, just learning how to live, right? And I remember that was a great realization. Oh my God, people that have jobs just do it every week. They go back on Tuesday or go back on Monday and they do what they did last Monday through Friday and they just, and it doesn't stop and it just goes on like that. You know, with music, you know, you're making a record, you're doing this, you're going on tour, you're playing a show, you're living in this place, you know what I mean? You break up with your girlfriend, you're moving with your friend. That's not the 9-to-5 job. The 9-to-5 job is you just show up at that place, you do what you do, and then you do it until Friday, and then you're off for the weekend, then around, around, around. And it dawned on me, like, and I remember sitting there thinking, oh my God. And the next kind of realization was, yeah, grow up. Fucking grow up, Buttercup. Right? This is what I'm going to do. Yeah, and I thought this is what I'm going to do. This is my job for now. And then hopefully I'll, you know, make my way up to prep cook or something. I don't know. But I'll take Campbell's job. I'll push him out of the way and I'll be the prep cook and I'll make more money and then I'll get a car and then I'll be this and that. And the whole thing just takes off from there until it's 30 years later, 40 years later, and you're sitting here waiting for a furnace guy to come. That's the end of it all.
Just went to work for 40 years.
You know, I don't feel like that in my job now, but when I was building truck bodies, it was like that. I mean, it was like Monday morning, everybody was sad and everything's down and slow and things start feeling better towards Thursday and Friday. We got paid every Friday and it was celebratory. Most of the guys I worked with were Spanish speaking and I hated the work. I don't enjoy welding. Some people do.
Tom Waits does.
If you hate your job, if you hate what you do, man, you're spending most of your life doing something you don't like, because you spend more time at work than you do with your family.
Chuck, how can you like being a utilization review person with insurance companies? How could that be a fulfilling job? How could working, I think Walmart greeter I could go for. I wouldn't mind being a Walmart greeter. But a Walmart shelf stalker, I don't think I could do that.
What about the Walmart your card at the exit person?
That could do that too. Yeah, because you could talk to people. That's what Amy says. She goes, because sometimes, you know, if I don't take care of myself and things are, you know, the thing that I feel the pressure here and I get out of whack, sometimes I come home and she can just see it on me. And it's just like, I'm this close to going and getting a job at Trader Joe's because you get to wear Hawaiian shirts.
Right.
You get to talk to people and just hang out and just kind of like left the beans or what. I don't know what you do. I don't know what happens at Trader Joe's. I've never worked at one.
No. I used to say that when I became disillusioned. I loved Las Encinas. So I do remember being a counselor and just loving my job. And like, I'd just stay as late and I'd just hang out. And I just like for eight or nine or 10 years, I just loved my job. Then when I started my own place, it was so stressful. Just like nothing was fun. Census, how many people, what's that person paying? Okay, we'll do it for half price because we don't have any money, blah, 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 blah. That was stressful. And then the courts was good. I liked the courts because they paid you before you did the job. That, you know, lawyers get paid up front. So do drug counselors and alternative sentencing, Chuck. Sometimes I'd hit 3 clients in a week. I'd get 15 grand cash. I'd be like, fuck, I could run away to Mexico right now. I could do anything right now.
Do I need to cut that out or bleep the number or something? Everybody's going to go for drug counseling certification.
Well, no, it's alternative sensing. It's an actual thing. I worked in Compton Court with Judge DeShazer, and you got, you know, it is a hustle kind of like people have means, let's say. So here's the deal. Bail bondsmen play off people of means, right? People have to have a collateral in order to get bail through a bail bondsman, right? Mm-hmm. So same thing with lawyers and drug counselors, right? Or you have a public defender and you got to do all the footwork in jail to get yourself, you know, into Cry Help or into you know, Impact or whatever. And not many people got the focus enough to get themselves out of jail into a program, right?
Right.
So the people means pay the law firm to hire an addiction person like me to set up the treatment, and I would go get them out of jail, Clark County Jail in Las Vegas a lot, and because I worked in Las Vegas mostly. And people didn't mind paying $5,000 to get out of jail and get into a drug program and not have to be in jail while they're fighting their case or whatever. I had this one kid who had possession charge, pretty much a lot. He claimed that he never, Chuck, when you got a client, you don't know whether you believe them or not, but when they tell the same story for like 4 months, you're kind of like, maybe it is true. Right. So this kid stuck to his guns that it was him and his girlfriend's and their friend's personal use, but it was quite a lot of heroin. But his dad was a diamond dealer, so you never know, right? What his personal use. So, but
he gave away a lot. Maybe that's how.
But he was charged with transporting cross state lines because he was traveling, and the thing was in North Dakota, right, or so wherever the Mount Rushmore is. That was the town that he got arrested in. So we go up there, and we stay in a hotel the night before. This is all part of the job, part of the $5,000. And we're up there, and you know, I said, we had dinner together, and I said, dude, I'm not a cop, and I don't give a fuck if you're stupid enough to run off and get high tonight. God bless you, but I'm going to sleep and whatever. We had separate hotel rooms because I'm not gonna, what do you say in a situation like that? I said, don't be scared. It's all gonna be fine. We'll be in and out in a fucking hour, and they're not gonna take you into custody or whatever, right? And I just didn't think they were going to. Well, the next, and he stayed, he didn't run off, and he was a grown adult, though he was like 20 years old. So we go to court, and I'm sitting there, and there's this energy in the court as soon as we walk in. And I'm like, oh, man, what's going on? And then I start, then the bailiff comes over and asks our name, why we're there, whatever. And then I'm starting to get suspicious, like, holy fuck, they are taking the kid into custody. Like, why is there so much hubbub going on? I see the judge walk in the hallway and look through the doorway that comes into the courtroom and look at us. And I'm like, oh my God, this can't be fucking good. They're going to take this poor kid into custody.
Oh, this poor kid. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm all
right. I get it.
How much?
So then it was a lot. So then I'm like panicked. And then Richard Hirsch, the lawyer I work for, is going to be mad at me. And I'm like, oh my God. So then the bailiff comes over and goes, I just have to ask. Are you Bob from Dr. Drew? And I said, yeah. And so, you know, Celebrity Rehab was on the air at the time. So I said, yeah. And they said, oh my God, Judge so-and-so would love to meet you if you'd like to come and meet him. And I would be like, absolutely.
Perfect.
So I leave the kid and I go and I meet the judge. I get a picture with him, First case of the docket, we're out the door in like 6 minutes. Like, you know what I mean? Here's the bummer about 20-year-old. This is 20 years ago. This is probably 2008. So this is 16 years ago. So he's Elijah's age. He's a fucking millennial. So I'm telling him what just fucking happened, how lucky we are that the guy likes Celebrity Rehab, and he's like, Yeah, no, I get it. I was like, dude, you need to be a little happier. Because when they all were weirding out and walking around and the judge came and looked in the hallway, I thought you were getting taken into custody. And he goes, so did I. I go, but you weren't. I'm on Celebrity Rehab. Why are you not happy? What is wrong with you fucking people? Millennials, they just can't get excited about anything. So the problem was, our flight was at 4 o'clock. It's 9:06 a.m. We already checked out of the hotel. I'm such an amateur, child. I don't have a credit card to rent a hotel. I got to have it in my ATM debit. I don't have that. I asked the kid, hey, you got a credit card? And he's like, no, I don't have anything. He picked me up at the fucking rehab. And I was like, oh. What are we going to do? And so we went and had breakfast. Then I see everywhere we're driving, it says Mount Rushmore. It's a Mount Rushmore Holiday Inn, Mount Rushmore. I asked this guy at 7-Eleven, like an AMP, like a gas station, is Mount Rushmore around here? And he laughed. Are you kidding? And I was like, no. How far is it away? And they said, it's like 40 minutes away. I said, dude, come on. We're going to fucking Mount Rushmore. The kid, I swear to God, says, why? And I go, dude, because we got 6 hours to kill. It was freezing cold, I gotta admit, because he just wanted to go sit somewhere. It was like 35 degrees. So we drive out there and I'm like, come on. It's pretty windy out there it's way out. You walk way out this cement walkway to get near it, right? And it's really windy, it's really fucking cold, I gotta admit it. But I gotta get my picture at Mount Rushmore, right? And the kid's like, I'll stay in the gift shop. I don't want to go out there. I'm like, you're coming out here. I just kept you out of fucking prison. Come on.
Come on, junkie.
And so we do the Mount Rushmore, and he got into it like, dude, look at it. It's pretty fucking crazy. I don't know if any of you have been to Mount Rushmore. It is crazy. It's crazy to look at. It's crazy in the middle of nowhere. Somebody did this thing. So we're driving back, and he's looking out the window. I go, what are you thinking about? And he goes, I'm just thinking about how much hard work that guy did just to do that. Because he could comprehend the achievement, and then he was a really smart kid. He could figure like what it took to do that, and it just baffled him why anybody would do that. That is some sort of intergenerational transformation of energy that didn't happen. You do it because you're driven.
Wait a second. I just saw something today that fits this, where they put a bunch of fleas in a jar, and the fleas can jump out of the jar. But after 3 days of being in the jar with the lid on, they can only jump as high as the lid. Not only that, but the fleas that they have will never jump high enough to be able to jump out of the jar. So what you've described is that people stopped jumping so high, stopped having such big dreams, goals, and aspirations. They've gone from wanting to leave their mark on the world to just wanting to leave their stain on the world. And that's what they're doing.
What is it, Elijah? What is it that, like, here's the thing.
I'm leaving a stain. I got to be honest.
People believe that me and Flea and Anthony had a plan. There really wasn't a plan.
Maybe Anthony had a plan. Like a little plan.
The plan would be like to become somebody who plays the Palladium. There was no plan of like, we have to do all these things. We were excited about the things we were doing.
Yeah.
Millennials seem to only be excited about the end results of things or where it gets you or what it gets you rather than the actual doing of the thing. Writing a song is, at that time in my life, in 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, until it became a job, it was just something fun. I just loved doing it. It had no connection to, I knew it was going to be an album. I knew it wasn't going to be, like, that's why we were in the alternative universe, Chuck. We were alternative. Yeah. It was the area where no one succeeds. Right, there's a ceiling. We were fleas in a thing that had a jar top on it, and that's as high as you could go. And probably Dead Kennedys, Minor Threat, Black Flag, X. That's about as high as you can go. You could sell 100,000 copies, maybe. There was never an idea that you could be Night Ranger. Never. That was something
because Chili Peppers have reached that spot where they're world traveling conquering heroes wherever they go.
Well, a lot of the bands, not just them, a lot of the bands were in that indie world. REM was in there. REM didn't sell records. REM, by the way, I watched a 2008 concert of them. How great is Michael Stipe? He's one of the greatest singers who ever lived. He's just amazing. He's just fucking amazing.
And a very cool guy. I heard a long form interview with him where he like played down every stereotype about him because I thought he was an intellectual, that he was like a book nerd and totally into art and just above us all. But he's a fart joke kind of guy. I mean, to put it simply,
right,
I mean,
he's from Georgia. It's not like the intellectual center of all the universe.
Well, there's a character to Georgians, especially Athens, where like, you know, the guy that leads one of my favorite bands, Harvey Milk, he's one of the funniest, most low-key guys. He teaches high school music. He's got a master's degree in classical composition. He plays guitar in a rock band that makes fart jokes for song titles. You know, he teaches high school. He's a great guy.
I mean, I'm just saying the way that Michael Stipe, I think what Chuck's referring to comes off is like, maybe he's like what David Byrne is. I think David Byrne is that. David Byrne is that. About David Byrne. And Michael Stipe is not that. I don't care about their personalities. I care about how great an artist he is, how great a singer he is, how great a performer he is.
Yeah,
it's just incredible. But Michael Stipe is A+. And here's the thing: I don't know when they broke up or when they retired or whatever. But in 2008, there's not many better bands in the world.
It was right then, 2010, I think.
Yeah. They were just amazing. How great to just go out on top when you're just at the top of your game. Like, how come more people don't do that? Like, they should do that. There's a lot of, I could make a list of bands that should do that. Chuck, you want to make a list? I got
everybody that does that now. Watch out, buddy.
I don't know. And I don't think Rage, now that Rage is broken up, like, please don't get back together again. You've done it 6 times. Enough is enough. Enough is enough.
This one was a drag.
The Smiths would be phenomenal. That would be
I think the Smiths missed their window. I think they missed their window.
They're gone.
I don't.
Because Andy Rourke's gone.
It's not a matter of the people. It's a matter of the people's desire to see them. I think less and less is there an audience. Like, I think. If they would have gotten back together 10 years ago, they could have become one of the biggest bands in the world. Morrissey has shit on, I hate to say, the Smiths kind of
their legacy.
Their legacy somehow. Like, yeah. It's just a bit, yeah.
I think time's changed and he's still just outspoken.
I'm not saying you're not going to go. I'm just saying,
yeah.
I think if they were back together 10 years ago, they would be multiple arena band. And I don't know. But I know Oasis is kind of a band that's out there.
But he's got a new band with a dude from.
Oasis kind of went out on Primal top.
White Stripes could get back together.
Were we just talking about quitting at the right time? Didn't they quit at the right time?
Why go backwards? Yeah. That's what I think Michael Stipe is showing you. Like, go out on top and fucking do something else.
In that interview, his partner is one of those guys that's an intellectual guy, and he ended up finding a life beyond the music because I don't think he was one of those singers that like needed the adoration of the crowd. I think he liked it for a little while, then it got to him, and he just wanted to have a real life. And he was able to find somebody he wanted to spend that life with. And it was a perfect timing thing. And, it's like Seinfeld could have gone on forever. Smart to leave, MASH left when it should have. There's a lot of things that do have timing, but that's when people stop and listen.
Here's the thing about MASH. MASH could have drug on for 10 more years and still been popular, but they just said nope. And that was the most watched episode of situational comedy in the history of television.
Yeah.
The last episode of MASH. If it's not about money, which there are some that say it's always about money. If it's not about money, like I don't think it's about money for Madonna. I don't think she's out there touring for money. I think she's out there touring to prove something to herself, maybe. I don't know. Did you see what she said the other night at the forum? What an embarrassing thing. I love it.
It's got to be total ego gratification, right? That I'm still valuable. People still love me. I'm proving by getting out in front of the whole thing.
That's like an insecurity thing, though. Like, what if that's what she likes doing? Like, I get it that Dave Grohl likes playing concerts. I know that Anthony loves playing concerts. I understand liking playing. That's what you do. You're a musician. You play. Just because you're super successful, should you not play? I think when you don't want to play or you're uninspired by playing, you should stop.
Yeah. But some people do need the money.
You know, I was surprised how much I liked Blink-182. I went and saw them. I was surprised. I'm surprised how much I liked it. That guy is a crack up, that singer guy. He's a fucking crack up. He's a fucking crack up.
He's, and that got him so much shit when they were starting out because the serious people in music, there's people that want to treat it only as an art. But at the end of the day, it's.
He said the funniest thing.
What
he said,
say?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, my. Oh, the drugs are kicking in. The drugs are kicking in. And the guy said, what LSD said something. Did you take acid? And he goes, no, Viagra.
You see, dick jokes at 55 years old. That's fantastic. And that's just who he's always been.
That's so great. But no, but I, it's not like top of my list of things, but I think about why rock is in the position it's in. And where is it going? Who's the future REM? What's the future Chili Peppers? What's the future Radiohead? I do know the answer to that. The future Radiohead is MGMT. But I just don't know where the future of music is going. It's all going to be K-pop and rappers. You know what the number one album in America is today? Kanye West, homophobic, Jesus mixed with Satan. Goofy, anti-Semitic bullshit. Watch the video he put out today. Unbelievable. Why does everybody? So here's the thing. I told Mark Case, my friend, to watch the video today. Elvis told me to watch it. Elvis watched it. He told me to watch it. It's disgusting. It's offensive. But so then Louis Matthew tells me, did you see the Kanye thing? This all happened today. And I said, no. And he goes, he ain't doubling down, because Louis is Jewish, and he said, he ain't doubling down. He's fucking tripling down. And I said, we need the JDL back. We need some baseball bats. This is fucking bullshit. That everyone just stands around and lets this guy be hating on the Jews. Like, Netanyahu's one thing, but anti-Semitism that Kanye West spits out of his mouth every day, that's a whole nother thing. You can be anti-Israel. You can be anti-Israel and pro and a good Jew.
Right. It's like you can hate your president and be a good American.
I just can't understand how someone like Kanye West is the number one album in America today. If nobody listens to it, nobody watches the videos, how is it number one? Because you've said you won't watch it. Marquette said he won't watch it. Elijah, will you watch it?
I'm just not interested to see what he has to say because he hasn't said anything interesting or intelligent, and I wouldn't want to give him a view because that's how you reward that, right? That's why I say I speak with, I vote with where I spend my money and at the polls, and that's it. That's why I don't talk about the politics so much. But if I watch it, it adds another view. And if I tell five people to go watch it, now those five people are going to go tell people. And all that does is support his cause, whether they like it or not. They're giving attention. You know, the whole idea of, we tell people that all the time. If you don't like it, don't watch. Yeah. He just hasn't added anything positive to music or art in years. So he's one person that I can't.
Yeah, I understand all that. I don't want to listen to his music. I never really thought he was talented. I thought he was a second level rapper. Nobody's better than Chuck D and Ice Cube and the Beastie Boys and Eminem. Nobody's better than them. Nobody. So the Mount Rushmore of rap has already been made and Kanye West ain't on it.
Not even close.
You know what I mean? Not even close. But get this, that I'm more fascinated by how popular he is saying all these hateful things. Like, that doesn't bother you, Chuck, that it's so popular?
It bothers me that it's being released and played. And go back to Morrissey, who had a song, a single song that might have been controversial or pissed off some people, and that record never got released. How is it okay to back one thing that's offensive and says harmful things or hurts? There are some words that are just offensive, and that doesn't mean shit. There are other words that inspire hate and violence. Yeah. And if that's what he's doing, then we know what it is. It's a propaganda machine. And with Trump ramping back up and with him being a Trump guy, it doesn't surprise me to divide the country a little bit more. Get us yelling at each other just a little bit more so that we have to pick a corner when both corners are fucked.
Well, but why, Elijah, hold on. Why is it that hate is so much more popular than love nowadays? Because it is. I used to always think, well, love conquers hate. Martin Luther King, love conquers hate. Expose the hate. Show what it is. We are now we're through the looking glass where everybody knows the hate. Everybody can see it, the hateful people and the people who spread the hate. And these people are celebrated in our society. That didn't used to happen. Here's the thing. George Wallace never became popular across the United States. He was popular in Alabama and Mississippi and across the Delta or whatever, across the Panhandle. But he was not popular in Massachusetts, in Iowa, in Nebraska, in North Dakota. Donald Trump is popular in all those places. The hate is spreading. It's like a virus that spreads further away. It's metastasizing, let's say. And Kanye West is another version of that hatred. And Biden and Hunter Biden and the media and all this swirl around. Just nobody's talking about love anymore. No one. No one's talking about unity. No one's talking about love. No one's talking about compassion. They're just talking about disagreeable things and despicable things and suggesting despicable disagreements. Like, listen, all the things that people are upset about, I understand what they're upset about being who they are. There is some outrage that is just fake and posturing or just as ignorant as, a multi-generational KKK member, racist kid being raised by racist grandparents and racist parents. You can't blame that grandson for being racist. He was multi-generationally indoctrinated into racism, right? But a college educated person who comes from an upper middle class background, being so filled with hate and rage against AOC, I don't know if you saw this the other night. AOC, they got her at a movie theater. It's the first time I ever felt like compassion towards her. Like, I have a problem with her. I think she likes to stir up trouble and
yeah, for the sake of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I felt like she was being accosted by these. They think because a war is happening halfway around the world, you can behave however you want in our country.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, no, mm-hmm. you don't. You still have to be civil to people. You still have to respect their personal boundaries. You have to respect their personal. You can go to her website and file your complaints. So, but here's the thing, good for the goose, good for the gander, right? I felt the same way when McConnell got in Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia. Mitch McConnell, who I can't stand, I'm glad he's retiring, good riddance to bad rubbish and all that. But still, I don't think he deserves to have his meal interrupted by a bunch of, you know, vitriol, you know, from a bunch of people that aren't eating in the restaurant. They just bum rush the restaurant, start screaming at him and standing over his table. He's a feeble old man. His wife's sitting there saying, get away from him. At least she's ready for a fight. Looks like she would take him on. But it's just, they did it to McConnell and all the liberals laughed and all the Democrats said, well, he's a pig. Now they did it to AOC and they've got to stand by the same. Well, she's a public figure. That's what a lot of my liberal friends are saying. I said, nobody deserves to be going out with their boyfriend to a fucking movie and be treated like that. Yeah. We can't have a society like that. We can't. There will not be a society like that. That guy needs to be told to shut the fuck up by his friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're just going to have less and less quality people in politics and more bright Lauren Brobart or whatever the fuck her name is, that idiot. You're just going to get more people like that and less people like AOC and less people like Bernie Sanders and less people like Mitch McConnell. If anything I can say to him, he was an honorable opposition. He kept his vote together. He could get any vote he wanted. Nobody ever strayed from McConnell's fucking grip on the Senate. I don't think a Democrat will ever have the grip that McConnell had on his caucus, ever, ever. And so I respect that. He knew how to keep his fucking people in line. You know who don't know how to keep their people in line? Democrats. Democrats don't know how to keep their people in line.
AOC.
Well, she did. I don't know what they want her to say that Israel.
She was interviewed last week and she wouldn't use the word genocide. She very cautiously danced around the word genocide. And so they're just going to harass her in the street all day long, like TMZ. We have had this in our culture with the way that we're the people, the tabloids and everything are allowed to accost celebrities. And that's been going on for 20, 30 years. Now it's just crossing, like you said, going through the looking glass.
No, I got some friends that have taken it on.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I saw Tommy Lee fucking pick this dude up and throw him over a brick wall and break his leg. that guy, you know, it costs a few hundred grand. So what? That guy, I guarantee you. Well, maybe it was like a paparazzi outside the Viper Room. Look up and see what the settlement was, Elijah. Anyways, I was standing there. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't want to be a witness in any appeal of the case because apparently he just pushed him. Apparently, Chuck, wink, wink, Anna.
He pushed him over a wall. Okay.
But the guy was like, offensive. He was like saying all kinds of offensive stuff to this guy's wife. But you don't have the right to talk to women like that in public just because you're trying to get a picture. You know what I mean? And Tommy Lee put him in. 50 Cent does it all the time. 50 Cent's kind of an acquaintance of mine. He'll walk right up to them and say, what'd you fucking say? And you should see these little tiny weasels with their cameras when 50 Cent comes out. They don't do it to Dr. Dre.
You're talking about through the looking glass now. That's how people are going to, not even paparazzi, not even people are trying to get punched for a photo or anything. People that feel politically righteous are going to go at politicians like that all the time on both sides of the fence.
But I've had people say really ugly shit to me because of whatever I said. I always say, your mom must be proud of you. What do you do? This all you got to do today is like wait for me outside a restaurant to tell me what a piece of shit I am or whatever. Like, have a great day. Have a great day. But I refuse to talk about Dr. Drew or what's you fucking killed Jeff Conaway or what. Like, I killed Jeff Conaway. Yeah, right. Yeah. You're a fucking, but if you say you're a fucking idiot, I you know, there was a lot of controversy around Dr. Drew and Celebrity Rehab there. I don't know if you remember that, Chuck.
Yeah,
and they would get me. They would get me because I lived off of Hollywood Boulevard. They would get me like coming out of a restaurant or something. They'd like, you know, what do you have to say about, you know, a girl killed herself, Mindy McCready killed herself. Do you think it's because you put her on television? I was like, your mom must be proud of you. And I would say, how much do you make? Like, how much you make off of this? If I say, like, fuck Dr. Drew, how much do you make? Like, $200? I give you $200 right now. I give you $200 right now. Why don't you just be nice to people the rest of the night? But I swear to God, I said that to a guy outside of fucking the Cinerama Dome. I said, I'll give you $200 right now. Just be nice to people the rest of the night. Tomorrow you can start harassing people again.
Did he take you up on it?
No, he's like,
no, of course not. I got to get back to work.
The Cinerama Dome had this big, I don't know if it's still there, the arc light, but there was this sitting area, like a cement sitting area outside in the courtyard there in front of the theater. And yeah, all the paparazzi would sit there because all the movie people and music people, that's where you went to see a movie.
Yeah.
And then Chuck, get this, if nobody famous came that night, they would have cost me.
So, you know what, if nobody famous was there, you know what, one time I was there and it was late when it first, Arclight first opened, it first was back open. And it was like in the afternoon, me and my girlfriend were going to see something. And there was a guy, he had his two sons, and he had like a crazy blonde wig pulled down real low, and he was rushing in there holding his
two sons. Who was it? Jamie Foxx?
It was Robert Downey. It was Robert Downey Jr. Right. He came in the door. I was like, what is this fucking wig? And I was like, oh, he's just trying to, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, trying to take his kids to see Toy Story or something.
And that's a spot to go see great movies, right? And that's what... That was it. And so there is ways to deal with it, but AOC got caught up in telling them they don't have that right. Like, no, you got to get more personal. Like, your mom must be so proud of you. Is this what you do for a living? This is what you do for a living? Like, just yell at people in the street?
They're not even professionals anymore. They're just, you know.
No, you're being too altruistic. You're being all too altruistic. They get paid. They get paid by handlers. They get paid by somebody. They get paid for some content creation. They're not doing it for nothing. They're not. Look at how much that was talked about. How many views did that video get? That guy made money off that. Right?
And he's going to be lifted up by a certain contingent as a hero. This is the problem. And see, I don't even want to know his name, but I'm sure he's been on some talk shows. I'm sure he's been on
podcasts. I'm sure he's on some podcasts talking about how he's the one that got AOC to back down.
Got her to break. I got her to break to show her true colors. I can just hear her because it's so manufactured.
So what we're going down a rabbit hole. What I want to know, because we're both therapists, where is all the hate coming from? It's got to be childhood trauma, right? Childhood trauma is everywhere. Neglectful parents, enmeshed parents, bad parenting, whatever. That's causing this. The society rewards narcissism. It's a warm, cozy blanket of narcissism and excuses and blame. And finally, you just mix that cocktail up enough. Trump's showing what's possible of how horrifically you can behave in public and still be celebrated
and become more celebrated.
That kind of perfect storm is now throughout the fiber, throughout the DNA, throughout the ecosystem of America. And so now they're doing it to AOC and they're doing it on college campuses and they're doing it to their classmates. And Kanye is doing it to sell records, and Cash Money is doing it because if you hook up with Kanye, you know, it won't spray on you. And but here's the thing, Spotify has got to be playing it, so Spotify is posting it, I'm imagining. So big corporations are still providing the public with this vitriol, so it just is kind of a mess.
Yeah, but and, I just put shit on Spotify. That's easy. Anybody can do that.
Yeah, but they make money off Kanye.
You know what's the funniest thing is I posted that and then went, what the fuck did I just do? Why would I put that out there?
Oh, you want to, you know, I don't know. The digital world, I'm surprised, like, I look at new artists that are coming up and I like them and we're kind of trying to develop a management company. And then I go to Thelonious Monster, like, you know, cause everything's about monthly listeners or this or that or followers or whatever. And I look at the artist who's new and current and whatever. And I just saw them play and they were good and whatever. And then I look at their numbers and I look, like, Thelonious Monster is actually more popular than these new up-and-coming artists. And I think because it's so hard to break through, right? If you're a new artist, it's impossible to break through.
You guys were like on an access road next to the freeway where all the big music was happening. And you were this access road next to it. And some of you were able to cross over. But now there's so many fucking little highways. There's so many different ways. And
billions.
It's crazy.
It's something like... Mark Cates told me it's something like 100,000 new songs are uploaded every day.
Yeah, even it's just crazy. Even just trying to find the artist. If I hear about a new artist that I'm looking for, I type the name in. There's 10 of that name.
Yeah, there's 10 of that name. Yeah, that's why JVLK. There's this artist that that Sid likes.
Who's impossible.
He's pretty good.
Four letters. Impossible.
No. No, yeah. No, but he's unique because you type that in and you'll see him. Oh, his okay. Real name is like Jules or Josh or something. And so he just like did JVKE or something. I think it's JBKE. Google it in. He's really pretty good. And he really did create that moniker so you could find his music.
Yeah, it's JVKE. His name is Jacob Lawson.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. What's the most popular song? Let me.
I can't see that right here.
Anyways, he's good. But think of that. He knew that if he came up with a name, there'd be 8 other bands called it, Chuck.
Wow.
What?
His number one song is 1,045,000,000 plays.
And you never heard of him.
Never, ever.
He's really. Chuck. Chuck, listen. Don't feel bad, Chuck. Don't feel bad. Did you hear what just happened? A kid that has 1 billion views is as unknown as you are. Does that make you feel good?
Yeah, you know, I don't. I just did it because I got tired of burning CDs for people.
You know, yeah.
I just want people to, if they're going to come see us, because we've got like 25, 30 people that show up and we've only done 4 or 5 shows. You know, if they know the songs, it makes it more enjoyable. And if they don't like the songs, I'm okay with that too. People don't have to like what I do to be my friend.
No, I mean, I've been through that thing. Like, I always tell the story. Elijah was there in the house, probably. I was working on my solo record that was not as bad as everybody wants him. I let people say it's as bad as it is because it's kind of like, it's not Thelonious Monster.
Which one? Oh, the old one.
My solo record. Yeah, playback. The one from the 90 or whatever. So I'm listening to a playback. I'm at the studio all day. I'm in the living room. Me and Keith live together. Keith comes walking by from the kitchen. And I go, I looked up at him. You never ask Keith Morris what he thinks, ever, about music. That's the first rule, Chuck. Don't ask him what he...
If he thinks you like it, don't ask him. Because if he thinks you like it, it's going to suck. Is that what you're saying?
He's too honest. He doesn't like anything besides Roy Wood, fucking whatever. So he walks by and I look at him. I'm sitting on the couch in the living room, that pink couch. Remember that, Elijah? That big pink couch. Yeah. And I look up at him and he goes... Sounds like a Budweiser commercial. And he's walking. It was just like, I got what he was saying. It did kind of sound like a Budweiser commercial. It's a little bit of a Budweiser commercial. But
probably because it was polished. And
it's weird. It's hard to make it in music right now. I don't know that I, you know, unless you're going to carve out. I'm already trying to guide Elvis, right? He wants to, like, be lo-fi hip-hop or whatever. And I'm like, no. You need to be. I just want him to experiment with this. I want, he's in. I know, Elijah, you ever seen anybody his age play piano like that? It's fucking crazy, man. I've never seen anybody so confident. Like, he's not afraid. So
no, he's amazing. He's
it's
amazing.
Fucking amazing. So, but he's always, you know, but he's obsessed with Tyler, the Creator, and Kanye, and fucking hip-hop. And
he told me Kanye is the greatest rapper that ever lived.
Oh, my God. Okay.
We got Elvis on here. That's kind of dry snitching right there. That's kind of dry.
But listen, so I see this opening, Chuck, because I'm a businessman now. I'm not a musician. I got my businessman hat on.
Oh, shit.
There is an opening for a Brad Meldow. A Brad Meldow. There's an opening right now for an instrumental piano who plays hip hop songs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure. I can see it. Chuck, it's like you see something and you just see it. The opportunity is there, just wide open. Just play jazz Keith Jarrett interpretations of Kanye and Kendrick and Tyler, the Creator. He will blow up on YouTube so fast, he won't know what hit him.
For real. That's actually, I really agree.
He's like, Dad, Keith Jarrett is like of your era. I said, Elvis, Keith Jarrett is timeless. He took, I don't know if you're familiar with Keith Jarrett. He's one of my favorite artists. Oh, here's Elvis right now. We're talking about you on the podcast.
There you go.
Yeah.
give him a headphone.
Oh, there you go. Come on. Tell your truth to the people at home.
What was he saying about me?
He's saying how much he loves you. And how proud of you he is.
Oh, how really? Great. How great. We were both talking about how great you are at the piano. Hi, Sydney.
All right, we're going to sign. I'm going to sign off. Podcast. Elijah, okay. Tell them what we think.
How long do we got?
So we were talking about this idea of you doing all these hip-hop artists that you like as like a jazz trio and how that would be a big thing. I really agree with that for once. I think it would be a huge thing.
There's something so honest and natural about a piano.
Yeah.
Because it has emotion that other stringed instruments don't have. And for me, if I hate agreeing with Bob because that means I'm crazy too. But your dad was talking about how if you meld two things to make something new. You know, Elvis Costello said that people write their best music failing at trying to copy someone else. But if you bring in greats from both sides and put it together, that's where new things happen. That's what, you know, and in music, we don't call it plagiarism. We call it being influenced by.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got that break.
Did Dad bring up how Tyler has a jazz album? Did he think to mention that?
Kanye West.
No.
What are you talking about?
You.
Me? We're talking about your career. We were just talking about your
career. Saying that I should fuse together two different types of.
You should be instrumental jazz, improvisational instrumental jazz versions of hip hop. You'll be a millionaire by the time you're 18 years old.
He just wants me to do covers. Is that that's what he's saying?
There's a whole thing. There's a whole thing for it. And covers in jazz, you just play. It's about the song. Do your own thing with the song.
But they're not called covers in jazz. Yes, they're called standards.
Yeah, standards.
Because everybody did the same songs.
You'd also be elevating and showing a lot of respect to your favorite hip-hop artists. You'd be putting them in the world of jazz, and they would probably respect and appreciate that. It's a thing, Elvis.
I got to learn about what jazz is if I want to do that first.
Jazz is when you're playing the piano and it sounds amazing, like classical music. And I'm like, who wrote that? And you're like, I just made it up.
Yeah.
You're playing jazz already.
Jazz is all accidentals and
it's punk as fuck. It doesn't.
All right, now we're going down a rabbit hole. It's boring to talk about.
He can't even hear us. He can't even hear us, and it's boring.
Hey, let me finish.
This is what happens when Dad isn't here. We have a whole conversation. This is not allowed.
Oh, come on. Thank you.
All right, love you, Elvis.
Doesn't matter that we were talking about how great you are.
I'll try and put, I have some of him playing that he recorded that. I'll put it at the end of the episode.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Chuck, you know, that's part of Public Enemy. Like, Flavor Flav, you say, hey, yep. Chuck, I really, I don't know how to change the tide back to, like, respect each other. I'm not even saying be kind, just be respectful. How about just be respectful? And so how does a society regain its respectability? It's like,
This is a really sad, sick thought, but since Bug has gotten sick, and for the last 6 months, people have been incredibly kind, even on social media, where I used to get shit all the time. I would say something and then I'd end the threads because people were just negative creeps and people that I know, and they weren't even being negative at me. But there is a lot of compassion out there, and I've heard it from all sorts of people.
So how do we access it? How do we does your kid have to be sick to access it?
This is what I'm saying, is that the part of it that's sick is that it's almost like I'm almost uncomfortable with it now, because it's like, we're just going through this. I appreciate the support. I told Amy, and this is one of the sickest things I've ever thought, is I can see why people do Munchausens, because it changes the world when you have someone you love or that other people like. And Bug was a likable little guy before all this happened, you know? So it's not like, and people think they know him because they've seen pictures of him and whatever. But I think when we catch people doing something right, like what we try to do in treatment, or when we let them know, thank you, that really means a lot. And we're not just like, yeah, whatever. When we treat people well, people have been so kind, and it's been, for 6 months, things have been weird, but there's also been this underlying just kind of people have been kind. I've been getting reached out to by all sorts of people.
And it's weird. But the same, is it the same people? So I have a completely opposite experience, and I tell it all the time. One of the reasons why I left social media is Sid loved Michael Jackson, and I posted a bunch of videos of Sid singing to Michael Jackson, and people, it was when that Michael Jackson documentary came out about the molestation, and people were saying, hey, you know, tone down that Michael Jackson. People were DMing me to stop posting things of my daughter dancing to Michael Jackson or something. It's something to do with this, you know, how the waves go against Michael Jackson, like, yeah. He's popular and then he's a pedophile, he's popular.
He's got a musical now.
You know, why do people care so much about what some guy does or posts on his Instagram? And so then a woman, I have her email. I sent her a very direct personal email. I found out her personal address. She said that she hoped my children were molested so I could understand the pain that Michael Jackson had caused his victims' families. So I sent her a very hurt email. Are you one of the victims' families? Because you're speaking for somebody I don't know. And no response. She was kind of spooked that I got her email address and I got her personal address.
Well, it's because you're in the CIA. You're in the CIA.
You can't do that. So it's not that hard. People are so stupid. They post their fucking shit everywhere. So I just told this internet guy that I know. I said, find out who's this person of this email address. It was the woman. She was living out in public saying that she wished my children get molested. What does she think I'm going to do, Chuck? Just to say, okay.
Oh, I'll delete my post. She doesn't know how crazy.
Yeah, she doesn't know me. So anyways, the point being, like, there's that kind of hate, like, about somebody you don't even know.
Of course.
It's not even Michael Jackson's family. It's me who's putting videos of my daughter singing Michael Jackson songs. This is a world gone mad. So we all, that's why I disconnected, and that's fine. I encourage more and more people to disconnect. I do believe TikTok will be banned here. It's going to get banned. It's the one bipartisan agreed upon thing in Washington that TikTok is going to be banned. It's going to be either sold and nobody's going to buy it because it doesn't make any money, So it's going to be banned. It's going to be closed down. And what will our children do for 7 seconds at a time without TikTok?
They'll be, unfortunately, there'll be another.
They'll get longer attention spans. They'll, they're the fleas. They're the fleas in the jar.
My message is your life is fine before social media. Your life will be fine after social media. Disconnect now. I did it. All my friends have done it. Nobody I know is on social media. They're all fine. They're all healthy. They're all doing fine. It's not your lifeline to your friends. It's not a lifeline to your community. It's not your tribe. It's just a bunch of fucking people you barely know living out their bullshit false narratives. It's just bullshit. And get off social media. And I think if millions of Americans did that, their children would follow. But as long as the parents and adults are on it, the children are going to follow that. Yeah. And so, you know, you're going to have Instagram accounts when you're 7 years old, and they'll be private, and then they'll beg for it to be public. It's going on everywhere, and it's the thing that fuels the hatred, right? It fuels it. And I really believe that. And why is that an addiction problem? Because I see America as the sickest society, Western civilized society, has ever existed. If you bring in suicide, alcohol deaths, opioid overdose deaths, and general drug deaths and car accidents from drunk driving, 500,000 people in this country die every year from despair death. It's called despair death. That's the category. Alcoholism, drug addiction, mental health, suicide. 500,000 people a year in this country die of that. Guess what? I predict within my lifetime, because I plan on living to be 80 at least, because I got these small kids.
Good for you.
That number will be 1 million. I can never fathom that it could be 500,000.
Yeah.
It will be 1 million from despair death, unless we start looking at what social media's effect on our society. If we stop saying it's okay to yell at AOC at a movie theater, if we stop like making Trump seem like the end of the world, or Biden is, you know, a corrupt mob boss or whatever. If we just stop all this stuff and just be neighbors and just be parents and just be friends at school and friends at work and people that go to AA and be instead of the way that we are. I'm telling you.
You mean America great again?
No.
That's just a term.
You know, and that's actually code to the white supremacist. He that's all code.
Dog whistle.
Yeah, it's a dog whistle. As soon as I saw it, I thought that's what it is. Like, when was, you know what I said, Chuck? When was America great exactly? 19. And so to me, you can't do something about the addiction problem unless you do something about the social problem. The addiction problem is only going to get worse if the social problem continues. The addiction problem is a symptom of the social problem. The social problem is a symptom of the family problems. We don't raise children right. We don't do the right thing. We're all obsessed with money. We're all obsessed with escapism and bullshit. And we need to just be present with our kids. Dude, I could not have to worry about money if I really wanted to get a second job and, you know, capitalize on all these things. I live at home with my children. I drive them to school. I pick them up. I fucking talk with them about shit. I talk with them about Gaza. I talk with them about Kanye West. I talk with them, and that's real. And if more parents did that, unless we're focused on their 40-mile drive so they can live in their McMansions, they would disconnect and get back to their families, back to their friends, back to their communities, back to what's real, not what's opinion, what's imagined, because we're just going to have more and more of the same. I really don't believe things are going to get better until people start making drastic changes in their lives. It's not going to be some guy or girl that comes along and saves us. It's going to be each individual person dropping out of this.
The problem is that people really think that it's going to be one person that makes the difference, when it's not. It's going to be a whole lot of people. It's going to be a majority of the people changing that'll make a difference. It's not the one person in office, but our values are twisted. You're right. They're twisted. You've been talking about the soul sickness of America for a long time.
Okay, so let's get this. Elvis wants to have his say on the podcast. So next podcast, Elvis will be on. We'll interview him. We'll get two headphones and two phones. Is that okay?
I can call him. I can put him in the link.
You'll be on the next podcast. You can do it. You can be in your bedroom, like not even talking, not even in the same room. And we'll just have a debate about Kanye West.
He'll see how... He'll have fun trying to get a word in edgewise.
We can't gang up on a 12-year-old child, 13-year-old child. We
just
can't.
The right age. Just gang up.
Next Monday, probably.
In Bible times, he'd be a daddy.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like Kanye here, West. Gentlemen? I just don't like what he's doing.
I used to love him, and now I can't stand him.
If I saw him out to dinner, I would verbally accost him and ruin his whole night.
Yeah, throw some seltzer on him.
I would.
It's a genocide.
You're a big Haiti poopy head. You hate everything, and you're a bad person. You're a bad example for our children.
You know, he's just... Part of me thinks he's a really troubled guy who needs help.
For right? sure.
But,
for sure.
But now he's crossed a line. That, by the way, a lot of crazy schizophrenic people do cross this line into saying all sorts of racist things.
It's crazy how it goes racism and religious stuff when the brain snaps.
When the brain
it's,
snaps,
it's Jesus and the devil and it's political stuff.
Yeah,
it's a weird kind of thing, and. I see it in him, but then he's rewarded so much for it or gets celebrated so much or talked about so much. So, you know, Kanye West is the subject, whether we like it or not. Donald Trump's the subject, whether we like it or not. Joe Biden did kill it on fucking the State of the Union. When I was watching State of the Union, I thought somebody slipped him some meth. Somebody, he's like, he's
got the B12 shot.
Some Dr. Feelgood doctor came in there and fucking rocked his world because he was on point. He only made a couple mistakes in like an hour and he was on fire. He was like a sermonizing and it was just the energy. Yeah. If they're saying he has low energy, they can't say that anymore because of that B12
shot.
That
was the point.
I'm old and I can't fake it that long. He faked it. You know, I could muster up energy for like 20, 30 minutes and I got to like take a break. And, you know, he kept it up and he's 20 years older than me. So I don't see how the fuck that was natural.
He got those shots. He got those shots right in the butt.
He did. Yeah. He got a butt shot. Don't you think?
And they probably said, we should do that again tomorrow.
I hate to say it now. It's kind of a joke around here. I'm having a Biden moment. I've never been good with names. So, you know, I can't remember people's names a lot of times. It's not senior moment. But when I can't remember facts, that's when I get a little nervous. Like, how can I not remember?
People keep wanting to know what your eye medication is.
I want to know.
I told Chris Carey. I got it right here. I'll send it to you guys. It's these two ingredients. I think it's the second one because the first one is fish oil, Adjify, pumpkin oil. It can't be that. It's the docosahexaenoic acid.
I'm going to need you to send me that text.
Shit.
Yeah. Here you go.
I think I saw that at the 7-Eleven.
No, but you just look on the side of shit. It's like fat burner stuff and all kinds of that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Dude, I take, you want to see? Like, I take a fucking truckload of shit.
Maca root, fish oil, docosahexaenoic.
That's what he said. Here,
this is all the shit you said. This is all the shit I take in a day.
Oh, my God.
And then there's my nicotine gum. So I got nicotine gum and all that.
To connect all the tissue.
Got the thermo fuel there. Got the iron, power zinc. But here's the cognitive. Wait, let me find this cognitive stuff. I take this, and some of them you take, two tablets twice a day. Look at this shit, Chuck. Does that look fucking serious or what?
What is that?
Look at that shit. How serious is that? That's for your fucking brain right there, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of young people take that nowadays.
Yeah, well, I'm old and I take it. I don't know. I get worried about the hate. I get worried about AOC, and I just like, we can't be doing this. And, you know, Elijah, I remember you would go up from Baltimore to the protests in Wall Street. People weren't accosting people. They were just standing in the park fucking saying, fuck you, right?
No, the cops were just accosting us.
Well, that's a cop's job.
Especially then. Especially right then.
Well, now that's, they don't accost anybody. Now they don't accost anybody. Okay, is that better?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I don't know. Do cops realize if they're not going to arrest anybody, there's not going to be any jobs for them? Like, they're not arresting anybody. Like, and if you do get arrested, you get released for no bail.
Well, they're doing it really, like, somebody's doing the accounting for them. So, like, do you remember when there's that big sweep in San Francisco? They arrested all the drug dealers overnight. It was very purposeful police action because during COVID, we closed the older jail there. And if they have more than 1,200 inmates, they have to open a new jail. So it starts the ball rolling. So they arrested 1,200 people in a night. That fills all the cells, maxes it out, and starts the ball rolling to open a new jail. So they're smart. The organization is smart. If the cop on the beat isn't smart, the organization is doing
it. I was talking about going to jail and having a consequence for your action.
Not for drugs. I'm for being crazy.
You can deal drugs and be caught for it, and you're released within 72 hours. You don't have to post bail.
Yeah, but look, major crimes have gone down since they stopped prosecuting for major crimes. Yeah. So it's got a double purpose.
Hey, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, it's facts. It's right there in the stats.
Crime is going down because we don't arrest.
I can't get mad at young people for not getting sober, because I would not be sober if it wasn't for Sheriff Sherman Block, the Los Angeles Police Department, the Orange County Santa Ana Child Court probation. If I wasn't held accountable for the actions I took because I was an active addict, I never would have gotten sober. I promise you that. I'm not lying. I'm not some fucking believer in, like, the police. All we voted for is that brown and black people should not be serving longer jail times than white people for the same crime. That's what we voted for. And somehow it became this madness we have right now.
Lawless, wild.
Yeah. Just like, is that that? Why in America was that so hard to get accomplished? That if you commit a crime, that standard sentence be equal for a black, a white, a brown, a yellow, a Puerto Rican, everybody just a freaking, that everyone should receive the same sentence for the same crime. How is that so hard to accomplish in America? So we voted for that, and now we got this. And now we got, you know, so am I a pessimist? Not really. I had a great day today. It was fun. It was a fun day. Am I concerned for the future of this country that my children grow up in? Yeah, I don't know that we'll be here in 5 more years if it continues like this. I don't think children should grow up in hate.
So then where do we go?
I think, you know, when you look at most countries don't want us. I've looked into it long ago. Most countries don't want Americans.
Oh no.
Spain was like, yeah, no thanks.
No, we're good.
No, we're good. New Zealand is impossible for an American to. You have to put like $500,000 in a bank account and start a company that employs more than 4 people for over a year before you're even allowed a green card or something. Right? Or you're allowed to be there more than 90 days. Australia will take us. Australia. Go to Australia. You can go to England, of course. England's so expensive. You think LA is expensive? Move to London.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
France would take us, but I don't speak French. How would that work?
You'd learn.
Yeah.
Chuck, do you not recall the cognitive memory medicines that I'm taking? There's no way it keeps getting more and more hateful, and they're just beating people up now that they don't like. They just hit them with baseball bats and the police do nothing. right? The police did nothing when AOC got accosted. They did nothing when... So imagine it starts that now if you don't like somebody, you just hit them with a baseball bat. And that's socially accepted on social media, and that's accepted. And each team cheers for the beating of the other team's member with a baseball bat. Is that too much? Is that a bridge too far for you, Chuck? Because that's a bridge too far for me.
That was happening in the Senate before the American Civil War started. They were caning each other in the Senate.
Oh, that's... well. We're, so anyways, I can see that. I can see... because it's so offensive what that guy did to AOC and her boyfriend at the movie theater. What's next? It's actually punching her. It's punching her. Mm-hmm. That's coming. It's going to come. If you don't start holding people accountable for their despicable acts, like, you know, you can be so pro Hamas, pro Gaza, pro Palestinian. If you shared your argument intelligently, mindfully, compassionately towards people who might not agree, you might have some possibility of convincing them. But if you yell at them and tell them, call them names, you're not going to convince them of anything. And why these people, that's why I don't think these people want to convince anybody of anything. I think they're being rewarded for doing this because I know it's all film. They film every time they do it, right?
But have you guys seen the trailer for this new movie called Civil War?
No.
It's, I know you hate new movies, but this guy is really talented. I watched all of his other movies, Alex Garland. He made a movie that's about to come out with Kristen Dunst, and it's Texas and California secede, and the United States goes to Civil War. Coming out in April. Gonna be a wild one.
So a documentary?
Documentary, no. He sent a camera 5-10 years into the future.
Yeah, you don't have to, like, Idiocracy was supposedly 200 years in the future. I don't think you have to go that far. You just had to go to 2020.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Idiocracy came to be. All right. Good night, everybody. And as the great Ice Cube said in 1989, fuck all y'all.
Good night, guys.
Bye-bye.